listening to And We're Sorry, The Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Would you be stunned if Bill said, you know what, come back, Kim. We'll do it again.
That'd be the worst decision he's ever made. That would be the worst decision he ever made. Because now you're not being fair to your team.
Mm-hmm.
You're not being fair to your team. When I saw what I saw with Cam, every time I saw Cam play, pretty much, I was hurt. Because I was a guy that believed in Cam. And when you see him drop back and he continues to throw the ball into the ground, throw it 5 feet or 5 yards above somebody else, you're like, what are you doing, Cam? Mm-hmm. Trust me, we're all fans. And yeah, we're Patriot fans, but we're football fans. We want to see these young men do well in their lives and in their livelihood. And so everybody was sitting back rooting for Cam. A lot of people were sitting back rooting for Cam. But yeah, I mean, I would say this. You have to find a quarterback. And it would be a terrible mistake for Bill Belichick to bring Cam back because Cam can't play football anymore.
That is Rodney Harrison. That really is a stunning clip from this offseason.
I would say top three Patriot of the last 20 years. Maybe two. Rodney Harrison, his whole demeanor, you can't play really? Like that anymore. Oh,
The PEDs?
Oh, I loved him. He was, when he came to this team in 03, when they had already won a Super Bowl, they were already full of big personality guys, and he just inserted
it's
his will.
It's amazing. You are so insufferable about David Ortiz, and yet Rodney Harrison is one of your top three Patriots.
I love Rodney Harrison.
So what about steroids?
I don't care about the Hall of Fame.
Oh, you don't care about the steroids when it's a guy you like, but if it's David Ortiz who's like somewhat connected to some substance somewhere that we don't know what it was.
I kind of look past
his whole career is just tarnished.
He never took steroids. I think
fraud alert. Where's the Wiggy fraud alert?
I think he took the GNC products and they were mislabeled. Anyway, I am a fraud about Rodney. I love Rodney Harrison. But anyway, I digress. These texts all on my side here, Kenny.
The text line is not
Curtis.
This is where my fraud antennas go up.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Nick.
Please, no more Wiggy. 714, Curtis, 80% of New England wants to hear about TB12. Great job. That's to Bob there in Bridgewater.
You made that up. I don't see that anywhere.
Cam was the worst QB in the league. That means it's impossible that he's the best free agent.
How about this one? If Cam comes back, I will walk away from the Patriots.
There are a lot of people that feel that way. But
nah, they talk tough now, but they won't actually when it comes to it.
Look at the ratings were down big time last year.
Okay, but let me paint this picture to you. Cam comes back, yes. But they also bring back another guy to compete with, whether it's, let's say, Jacoby Brissett. It's Brissett, Stidham, and Cam.
I would run into traffic.
Why? And the opt-outs are back. Chung's back. Hightower's back. Cannon is back. We had a call about Dan Vitale. I'm going to throw him in. Danny Vitale's back.
What about Cardona?
They hit free agency, and they've declared they're going to be aggressive. They add a big tight end, whether it's Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry. They add a receiver. Maybe it's not Robinson, because I think that's unlikely. But let's say they bring in, I don't know, Sammy Watkins or somebody else to go with the mix. And they draft. They stick where they are. They pick the best defensive player on the board at 15. And they're going to get a chance at a good defensive player. You look at the mock drafts, it's amazing. It's all offense. Three receivers gone. Five quarterbacks gone. The best tight end, Pitts, is gone. So Bill Belichick is going to sit there and get, whether it's the Penn State linebacker or one of the top two defensive linemen or the best pass rusher in the draft, you rebuild your defense, you have the best defense in the league, you add some weapons, and Cam comes back and competes a year under his belt, no COVID. Yes, you still need a quarterback eventually, but now you've put yourself in a situation where the car is built well and you add the engine as the last piece. That's not a bad offseason.
So you want the Patriots to play next season without an engine?
Well, it's a 9-7 engine or a 10-6.
Here's the issue with your Cam take. It's that the receivers, the young guys, Jacoby Myers, whoever else they draft and bring around him, are not going to improve. They are going to have their growth stunted by playing with a guy that chucks it into the dirt.
Well, Jacoby Myers had a pretty good year. I'm not sure if you saw
last
season.
Imagine if he had a guy that could throw the ball.
Well, he had Brady here, and Brady wouldn't throw him the ball.
Right.
So
yep. Brady failed.
I think Jacoby Myers,
you and your Brady talk too much. Let's talk Cam.
Let's talk about Jacoby Myers. Is he happier with Cam running the show or with Brady, who wouldn't throw to him because he wasn't worth his time? That was embarrassing.
If he's
That's
happy,
one of Brady's lowest moments, actually. It is.
If he's, I'm not even going to address that. If he is happier with Cam Newton than Tom Brady, he should be doing something else as a career.
Well, they're boys from, like, way back, by the way. What did Jacoby Myers have? How many catches did he have this year?
What are we talking about?
You're saying Jacoby Myers would be unhappy. The guy had 60 catches. 60 catches.
I would say
he had a breakout year with Cam Newton.
It was when we ever play Wiggy, does that mean like nobody finishes a sentence?
You're going to find a blind squirrel every now and then.
I don't know if that's the saying. But Jacoby Myers is not going to improve with Cam Newton as his quarterback.
Okay, let's say Cam's the backup. And you bring in...
Cam told Brandon Marshall on the IamAthlete.com podcast that he is not going to be a backup. He is a top 32 quarterback.
He's saying that now, and he thinks he will. But he also said he's coming... He also said he's coming back here, by the way.
Right, but you... When I cite something somebody said, you say it didn't happen. Then when you say it, you're like you're denying facts.
Well, no, but what's he going to say? Of course he thinks he's a proud guy. He's going to say I'm one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the league. I'm just saying.
Right. What are the Patriots going to say when Jeff Howe asks if they're in on quarterbacks? They're going to say they're in on everyone.
All right. But the free agent market is not good for quarterbacks. That's just the reality.
Right. Something they should have considered when they ran the greatest quarterback of all time out of town.
Okay. Let's say they bring Fitzpatrick and Cam in. Does that make a difference to you?
I want Fitzpatrick on this team.
And you think that makes a substantial difference?
I think he can complete passes that don't land at others' toes.
Okay. He's also, he throws a ton of picks. I mean, fine. Okay, one of those guys.
Did you watch Cam last year?
Yeah, he had a fumbling issue more than a pick issue.
He was a turnover machine.
How many picks did he throw? 10?
Yeah. 11.
10 picks. All right, 11, whatever. 10 or 11. It's not that bad.
He sucks. Games? You and I watched him. We come in every Monday and be like, did you get through that game?
I know. It was bad.
You said you've almost got a drinking problem now because of Cam.
But that they had no team around him. That's the point. You got to admit, he had the worst weapons. Like Wiggy says this over and over.
He had a great offensive line.
He had a good offensive line. They weren't healthy.
Right. But, I mean, you can say that the line was pretty good.
Line was pretty good.
He had no tight ends. He had no receivers. He had nothing. I mean, it was an awful team.
Awful.
They were awful.
That made it awful to watch. Like, right. if you did get Curtis Samuel or, you know, whoever, it would be more bearable. And if you had a lights-out defense, one that wasn't getting run over by the Rams. I mean, I know they scored 3 points in that game, but they got totally emasculated in that game. They couldn't stop the run. And that's a game they had to win. And it was like, okay, this is not a Belichick team. And that you can get Dak Prescott, whoever. That's not going to fix that problem.
Quick question. Who do you think defensively is going to be? So you're saying they're going to be a top defense. So you think Gilmore is going to be back?
J.J. Watt. We're going to hear him connected in the next couple weeks.
He's not coming here. But honestly, do you think Gilmore is going to stay?
I find that hard to believe. I don't know. Well, the problem is they tried J.C. Jackson late in the year as the number one, and he got shredded by the Bills. So that's not good. I don't know what they're going to do there.
I mean, if they bring back Cam and they I'll play your game, they get two or three blue chip defensive players either through free agency or the draft or both, and they improve with one skill position player at wide receiver, like a 2+, like not a 1, but a 2.
Okay.
What's their upside in the division? What chances do they
have?
They can
win the division. I mean, they almost beat the Bills last year. If Cam doesn't fumble, they beat the Bills. The Bills are not like some great team. I know they won a couple playoff games. People have anointed them. What have they won? Who have they ever beat?
Well, they killed you. Killed
you. In the first game, you should have won.
You lost at home on Monday Night Football in one of the most disastrous performances I've ever seen.
Again, Diggs made the whole game. Diggs was unbelievable.
And that was at the end of the season when you would think Cam was far away from COVID and immersed in this offense.
Serious question about Cam, though. Is his injury a possibility? Like, did the shoulder by the end of the year, is that why he regressed? Because it could. Just wear and tear on the rotator cuff or whatever was going on there.
Okay.
Which is a concern, I'll admit that.
How many other teams have you heard are in on Cam Newton?
Well, I don't know. I mean, who knows? It's early. 3 weeks away.
It's early. You were just citing 50 different reports. There's a reason why the only team that called him was BC.
Well, Cam basically said in that Brandon Marshall podcast, he's coming back, right? Didn't you get that? I mean, that was one of your leads this week. Cam's coming back.
Right. I was very down. I had to increase my antidepressant.
Okay, fine. So let's say it's Cam and somebody else. Maybe it's a rookie quarterback. I don't know.
I don't want to watch Cam.
Okay, but it could still be a successful offseason for Bill with Cam Newton. That doesn't mean it's a failure.
Jeff Howe already gave him an A for the offseason.
Let's go to Brad in Florida. What's up, Brad?
How you doing, guys?
How are you?
So I didn't hear the lead where I said last weekend that Cam was coming back. Curtis plagiarized it for his lead?
Yeah, he did.
My apologies.
No, I the one thing that I don't think has been hit on enough is that, you know, I think from a ownership management standpoint, a lot of this stuff goes, you know, above Belichick and the Kraft. I mean, they've been able to managed the team in a certain way because they had Brady for so long, and now he's gone. I mean, do you really think it's all just Belichick making these decisions about free agents?
I guess not. They now have Dave Ziegler, the new GM, did an interview with Pats.com, and he cited three other guys that are – they basically have – they're like the Red Sox. They have four GMs now. It's a weird, like –
Are you sure this Dave Ziegler isn't the nut job with Sandusky? Are you sure it's a different guy?
No, that's not him. Okay. The thing about all those guys, though, is they're all reporting back to Bill. Yep. I mean, they're not making decisions ultimately about who's gonna be on the, you know, squad as far as money and stuff. I think, you know, from a spending standpoint, you know, again, you know, it really bugged me when I heard a few weeks ago that I think it was Bedard on somebody's show talking about how, you know, Belichick's money and he sets the rest of the coaching money. And that's all budgeted in from the crafts, also within the same amount that they spend on players.
Right, the salary cap.
That's significant.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
But that's significant because you talk about, you know, it drives me nuts when I hear about people say, you know, dead money and the cap. And I mean, it's crazy. You've got, you know, Philly just trades Wentz, and I don't even want to think about how much dead money they have on their cap. But yet, you know, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's a question of how much you want to spend, and you can always find workarounds on the cap, I think.
Well, that's
which is why I think, you know, people need to be, I think, a little bit more critical of management here.
And ownership, and I would say the fact that this quote came out to Tom Curran, Curtis, the uncharacteristically aggressive, that's going to stick. Like, they now have to spend and back that up.
Yeah.
Unless Curran made it up, which I don't think happened.
And if that's what's happening, then we already are at the worst possible scenario for the Patriots, because you let Brady go, which I disagree with, obviously, but it makes sense for Bob Kraft at the time to say Bill's going to be at the top of his game for a longer period than Brady. I'm going to stick with Bill.
Wow. Makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I disagree, but it's not the dumbest thing in the world to stick with the coach.
Not the dumbest thing in the world.
In that moment, to make that decision like that, the analytics of it, I can understand his explanation for it.
I can understand this.
So,
who is this?
Oh, God in heaven, can I finish a sentence? And so, but now we're not even, what, we're a year in, yep, on March 17th since the departure of Tom Brady.
Yep.
And we already have Kraft changing the manner in which the team shops for the groceries.
Yeah. I wonder if Bill's pissed about that, too.
He would have to be. So not only did you leave Brady, you lose Brady, you kept Bill, but now he's been castrated, and he's sitting here saying, being told what he has to do or not do. So you lose Brady, and you're pissing off Bill.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah. I mean, I do wonder how much ownership is meddling now. Isn't that like a major question?
But then why did you stick with Belichick?
You're right. Well, yeah.
If you're not even going to give him a year, I disagree with his moves, but is bad news. If Bob Kraft is saying things, because you know Bill didn't call Tom Curran and say, we're going to be wicked busy this offseason. You know that didn't happen.
But do you think the season, like, viscerally affected the Krafts? Like, that was their plan, and then things went horribly wrong, and seeing Brady win that Super Bowl, they decided, that's it, we're stepping in.
And you must, you sort of have to speculate now that Bill told Robert there's no shot he goes down there and wins. Like, Robert said, you know, if he goes down there, you're going to make him look like a real schmuck.
Nah, but that's a great team. I mean, Bill had to realize that's a possibility.
You think? Did you see Linda's comments? I mean, there is no shot that Bill
praised the defense.
You don't, there's no
Linda
way.
Linda was breaking down the D on IG. She was like, look how good this.
And not only did Robert Kraft lose Tom Brady, he traded Gronk, who scored two touchdowns for Brady in the Super Bowl.
But that's a stunner. Did you see that coming? I certainly didn't. I was mocking Gronk early in the year.
No, I didn't see it coming at all. I didn't think Arians even knew he could play, like he said, on the bench every game.
Well, he said that. Like, he doesn't have the separation anymore, and all he uses is a blocking tight end. And
but we've stumbled upon, this is a big story. If Bill is not being, if he's being treated like Big Bill Parcells by Kraft, 1 year after Brady left and Belichick sided, I'm sorry, and Kraft sided with Belichick, then this is a total disaster.
That could totally be. Could you imagine that? If Bill, like, leaves in a huff after this year because Kraft is meddling too much, year after Brady?
He has an offer as a quality control coach with the Bucks.
What's a successful Pats offseason? Jeff in Maine up next on Ken and Curtis. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing today?
All right.
So I got a crazy idea. Trying to pull Philip Rivers out of retirement if we're looking at short answer quarterbacks. So if Tyrell Williams is available, sign Tyrell, See if you can talk to Philip Rivers coming out. That may even talk Hunter Henry coming here.
Or Andrew
how's
Luck
for an offense.
How about Andrew Luck? Is he fully retired?
God, remember we did like
well,
a month.
I think for a 1 year option, Philip Rivers is better than Andrew Luck. If you're pulling in Tyrell and Hunter Henry, if your offensive line is looking good, if your defense is looking stout, you're just looking for those offensive pieces. If you're looking for a 1 year deal, I mean, line up Ryan Fitzpatrick, Cam Newton, or Philip Rivers.
You're right about that. I don't think that's that outrageous of an idea. You call up Rivers and say, hey. You played last year. You played pretty well. Do you want to go out like this? Play for us, Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, I would take Philip Rivers over Cam Newton. I'd take Philip Rivers' kids over Cam Newton.
All nine of them?
Yep.
All 11? All right, let's get to what's trending here on the Ken and Curtis Show. Wickersham coming up at 11, by the way.
Now back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Texters agreeing with me in droves that a successful offseason, Curtis, could be, like this 603 texter, Curtis Samuel, Jonnu Smith, then a best defensive player available at the draft at 15, sign a couple others, bring Cam back, 12-4, back on. Boom. Success.
I mean, there's one out of 400 that are on your side there.
That was the only text that agreed.
The last one said, and it's true, there is no successful offseason without your next quarterback.
I do think this Kraft dynamic is interesting. Now, he was very vocal. Not himself, we talked about the interview that got spiked Super Bowl week, but he was like attributed to quotes about how happy he is for Brady, right? And he very much wanted to be a part or in the headlines Super Bowl week. Yeah. But is that a sign? Is that protesting too much in a way? Like, this is a sign inside the brain of Kraft. He was very nervous at what's happening. Now the hype video comes out. He tells Curran uncharacteristically aggressive. He's very much out there. Not a bad thing necessarily, but it could piss Belichick off.
I'm rooting for Tom Brady.
Yeah, and the one thing, just so everybody knows what happened with the video that you've been citing, they say it's a hype video with like Matthew Slater and a couple other players, and they say, stick with us. We're building something here, mm-hmm. which is insane that the Patriots would need to say something like that. But, yeah, this is a bad situation because it's really you've boxed in Kraft. Kraft has boxed in Belichick in a way because you have these proclamations to Tom Curran that they're going to be incredibly aggressive this offseason.
I mean, he has set up the free agency when it opens on the 17th and the draft to be the most underwhelming, like biggest letdowns in history if they don't deliver.
And Patriots fans, without these types of comments, have already trained themselves to deal with boring drafts. Like, there has not been an exciting Bill Belichick right. draft. In years.
Right, and you use the mock teams that won free agency, right? Oh, great, they won March 17th.
I remember vividly when Rex was with the Jets and the Bills, and we'd always laugh at him saying, oh, Rex won another offseason Lombardi. You know, we'd all sort of get there saying mocking teams, because if you have a big offseason, it means you had a bad team, generally speaking. And the fact of this situation is that I don't see there being a lot of opportunity for the Patriots to get into the top 10 and give up what is required, and then to prevent them, because those assets will be with the Broncos, whatever team you're trading with, you already have no third-round pick. And so let's say you got to give up your first, obviously, a second, and maybe next year's first. So you have no second-round pick, no third-round pick. It's not ideal for a team that's got a lot of holes that you would admit.
And you don't know what the fan base patience is with Bill. Like, so let's say Bill has an underwhelming offseason, which could make some sense. Like, you would agree that's not the great – typically spending the most money doesn't win you any games. So maybe Bill would be correct to not go wild in free agency. I mean, they have some money to spend. They'll add a few things, I'm sure. But let's say he gets like a third tier receiver and a fifth tier tight end or something like that.
Right.
Okay, maybe that's not the worst thing, but how do the fans react to it? There were a couple of interesting polls. I want to give a prop to Mutt and prop to OMF. I thought these were good polls.
Yes.
OMF's poll was, which fan base should be concerned the most about the next 3 to 4 years of the team?
Right.
I believe that's kind of the phrasing. And the Patriots were top of the list.
Yes.
Which is a little bit surprising. I guess not. They get the most reaction, so in some sense it's not that surprising. But would that be your answer too? The next 3 to 4 years, the Pats are the team to be worried about the most?
Yes, because the nature of baseball, the Red Sox have gone from last to first several times. So I'm not saying that this year they're going to be in the World Series, but
no.
I think it's easier in baseball to turn it around. And I think the reason why the Patriots are in this position is because everybody in the NFL right now is basically in on one of these quarterbacks that are coming out. And either you have a great, all-time great like Mahomes, Rodgers, Deshaun, who's on those moves somewhere else. But I feel like it's so difficult to get that next guy. In this offseason, too, on top of Kraft's comments, which do nothing to help Bill and I'm sure are not sitting well with him, does Bill strike you as a guy to go after the most coveted thing when it's so difficult? Basically saying that, look at the difficulty it is going to be to move into the top 10 this year. Because right. We talked about last week.
Like that Kuiper draft.
Right. We talked about this last week that next year, I know it's a long way away, but speculation is it's going to be basically a one-player QB draft. So you're going to fight all these teams to finally get in the top 10 and get a guy that you don't know. If you're getting the Trey Lance, which Wiggy wants from North Dakota State, I mean, what? That's a total crapshoot.
Yeah, totally.
And so it is, if I were a Patriots fan.
In fact, if they take Trey Lance, it's more likely he's Carson Wentz than he is Tom Brady, right?
Of course.
I mean, just by the odds.
I mean, the list that we went through the last couple weeks on the show where you go through, you know, look at the draft where it was Winston, Mariota, 1 and 2. Disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many busts in the first round of the NFL draft at quarterbacks.
The Bruins have young talent in the pipeline. You're not as concerned about them. As you say, the Red Sox can spend. The Celtics do have Tatum and Brown.
Right.
You know, no matter what you think of them.
Right. And I think that you asked earlier what would be a successful offseason. In my opinion, if I'm a diehard Patriots fan, it would be that Bill Belichick shows he still is running the show.
And does nothing.
Well, whatever. He doesn't allow Kraft to bully him. Because I, as much as I've ripped Bill for losing Brady, and that's the worst decision in the history of mankind, but I'd rather have Bill Belichick picking players than Robert Kraft.
Maybe, but then it would be, it's got the possibility to be a brutal fall. And this poll speaks to that. Mud at Night, last night. With fans set to return to Boston sports, which team are you going to prioritize seeing live first? Patriots third on that list.
That is absolutely insane. The Patriots have been number one in this town from the moment Bill Parcells, not Bill, I would say after 04. That was still like the Red Sox, you know, jockeying. But from that point until now, the Patriots, and it hasn't even been close. We watch out-of-market NFL games more than we watch the other three teams in this town.
And by the way, Brady's going to play here next fall, and that still didn't bump the Patriots to the top of the list. It's Bruins 1, Red Sox 2. Fans would most like to see a Bruins game in person, and then a Red Sox game, and then the Pats 3rd. Celtics, by the way, dead last at 9%.
That is a stunning, stunning poll, even if it's whatever. I mean, it's probably not scientific, and I'm sure that, you know.
Well, it's Mutt's fan base, so.
Right. But, I mean, I do believe that this is something that. It is. We've stumbled upon it here this morning, but the fact that we may be in a situation where a year to the day that we lost Tom Brady to the Bucks and Bill Belichick was given the vote of confidence from Robert Kraft, to now we're in one offseason, the second offseason after Brady leaves, and he's being told and bullied on what to do with free agency.
We even talked about Cam in 15 minutes, by the way, and it's just more Cam hate. 714, no on Cam Newton, please. 617, unless you can find receivers who can catch with their feet, I don't know why you would want Cam Newton as your quarterback. The hatred of Cam is significant.
I mean, we went from Grill 23 to the Sizzler. Like,
like
you
the
cannot
Sizzler.
Discuss
wrong with the Sizzler.
How big of a chasm there is between
yeah,
where
but you
we
totally
were.
Totally ignored Newton's 12 rushing touchdowns, and he did some good things. He has a good locker room vibe. He is a good salesman
so
for the region.
So why is he totally free to sign anywhere? Once again, why was he a free agent in July last year?
Well, last year he had to prove he was healthy,
and why
he may not have done.
And why this year, as we approach March on Monday,
he's the best free agent on the market.
So who's linked to him?
Well, nobody's linked to anybody. Who's linked to Fitzpatrick? Who's linked to
the Patriots? There's a lot of players, teams that would like
to sign.
So
is Cam. Who is linked right now to Cam Newton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, Mitchell Trubisky, or Jacoby Brissett?
I'll get you those answers in like 2 minutes.
No,
I just have to search it.
Let's go to Sean in Grafton while you search. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. I was wondering, what can the Patriots do with J.J. Watt potentially?
Well, there you go. See, there's the Watt. They're not going to sign Watt. That's, again, unless that's like a Kraft signing. If they would bring Watt in.
Didn't you say Watt like an hour ago?
Yeah.
So they're not going to sign him?
Though. No, I was just kidding. That's not going to happen.
No way. No. But you're right.
You had the list last week of the top 50 free agents. No, talk about linked to the Patriots. Nobody was linked to the Patriots there. But again, if Bill's being Bill, they're not going to leak that stuff out.
But that, though, I mean, the Patriots even...
Were they linked to Gilmore before they signed him?
No. I remember that morning. I had no idea who he was. And then, you know, we were breaking it down. But yeah, no, that came out of left field. Almost all of Bill's moves come out of left field. I mean, when was the last time, I guess Antonio Brown to the Patriots was the last one we were like, yep, that's going to come. After he was released by the Raiders, you knew that was only a matter of time before he came
here. I don't know about a matter of time. That was still a big, that was still a pretty, by the way, Antonio Brown's a free agent.
Yeah, he's staying there.
He is?
Yeah.
For like $10 million or something? I mean, they have no money to spend. Your Bucks are in trouble.
They're in trouble.
Brady had knee surgery. He's not going to be back until the summer. Volan reported, and Ben Volan's in for the noon hour, by the way.
If Tom Brady...
This is a significant knee surgery.
If Tom Brady had to crawl on his hands and knees and play quarterback, he would still be 10 times better than Cam Newton.
Yeah, but what happens if they lose Shaq Barrett and the defense isn't there to pick his ass up?
It's already over. He won. It's over.
Won, I know you won one, but I'm talking about now going forward. Let's look ahead.
I'm not worried at all. This is all house money. Whatever he does from here on out.
Nope, not if Bill wins two more.
Okay.
Then, well, then he loses.
You're going to be on this radio station for 100 years?
617-779-7937. Coming up at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, it's Seth Wickersham. Now, he's got a new book out. It's not out yet. It's out in the fall.
Out in the fall. I've already pre-ordered 600 of them.
Better to be feared inside the New England Patriots dynasty. He says he talks to over 100 sources in here. He's a big source guy. As like secretive as that franchise was, for Wickersham to break in somehow, you got to give him credit for that.
It was the most important piece of journalism in Boston sports in the last 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to talking to him. I think the big he's not going to give us his sources, obviously, but he sort of foreshadowed this coming, and I wonder what the book is going to be. Is it going to be Brady and Bill, like, will he have a definitive answer on when things went wrong? What was the breaking point?
I think that it will all be about those final days, the conversations, the behind-the-scenes machinations that all went behind that led to Brady leave here. I mean, I think that you have the Robert Kraft thing where he claims to tell people that he thought the night that Tom Brady walked over to his abode in Chestnut Hill that he said that Brady was going to tell him he's resigning with the Patriots.
Yep, we could work it out.
I mean, that is
I believe that.
A whopper of all whoppers.
We'll ask Wickersham that. And John Anderson, who produces Dale and Keefe, put out an awesome video. I want to play a little clip of this. This might have been when the Bill Belichick-Tom Brady fracture began.
Absolutely.
It's more of a visual than it is an audio thing, but I want to play some of the audio anyway. But in the middle of Brady is describing a play with Ed Reed and like how they should cover him and like a tactic they should use. And Belichick pretends to write it down, and the pencil never hits paper. He just is like humoring him for 30 seconds. It's awesome. Here's a little bit of the audio.
If that corner starts running high for the backside post, then you can throw the flag too.
Oh, you're saying let Ed dive on it and then bring him back out.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Let Ed take it, and then when Ed takes it, then the Z whips it back to the...
Right. I gotcha.
To the flag.
I gotcha.
And then Ed's kind of in no man's land. Then you have everything.
Right.
And then Randy's in a tight split. And then you can run him back on a cross across the field if it's like one cover.
Right.
You know, maybe have two plays like that in the plan
mm-hmm.
that take advantage of, you know, figuring out what they're running.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even write it down.
He's not even listening by the end. He's just like, yeah, it's a good idea.
I mean, that was 2009.
Oh, that was 2009? Yeah. That's when it all fell apart. I'm convinced right there.
Oh, my God.
That's the beginning. But Wickersham could maybe weigh in on that. I don't know. We'll talk about the Pats dynasty from start to maybe finish. Volan at noon, from noon to one, the Ben Volan Football Show. This is Ken and Curtis.
More the guys, Ken and Curtis, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Seth Wickersham coming up top of the hour to talk about his book on the way, Better to Be Feared, Inside the Patriots Dynasty. Curtis has been ripping Bill yet again. I've been defending him, I guess, which somehow I'm like portrayed as now like a Bill Buttlicker. I don't know how that happened. Just doing a show with you. That's what I've become. This 617 text, though. Boston sports media's ignorance and lack of depth on the Patriots and Cam is maddening. No way Newton comes back. They get a compensatory third-round pick in 2022 once he's gone. That's why that pick is better than Cam. Why couldn't you? Don't you guys know that?
I wish I could ever love something as much as Patriots fans love compensatory draft picks. They obsess over them.
Even the Brady thing. Like, I got to, like, they will get a third this year, we think, like, for Brady leaving, right?
Right. Good deal.
I know. It's like, okay, you kind of lost out on that one. It's a nice consolation prize, I guess. Before we get to Wickersham, our buddy Principal Dave is checking in.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's
good
up,
morning,
Dave?
Guys.
How are you? Hi, Principal.
A couple things. Are you guys already being phased out? Because I'm not getting you on 103.7. What's going on?
In Providence, they have the Kitchen and Dondero show until 11.
They only pick up the last two
hours of our show.
Okay. All right. Got you there. Okay. So just a couple of quick comments. The Belichick clip you played, I think we're reading too much into that. I think Bill already had that idea, but he just didn't want to embarrass Tom. He wanted Tom to have his say, and that's why he didn't write it down. So let's not read into that. And let's also, can we stop with this? These two have the greatest respect for each other. It was time to part ways, no question about it. And I agree with you, Curtis. We are left high and dry, but I'm glad Tom's down there. Let him go another few years and see if he can get another couple. We got to figure it out here, but let's just let that relationship go, right? Can't we just let it go?
I mean, we can, but we can't say they have nothing but the utmost respect for one another, because that's not how it ended here.
I think they do. As football minds, they do. As human beings, maybe they don't, but I think you got to understand. They both know without each other, they wouldn't be where they are today. You got to admit that, right?
I mean, I think that both of them, and I've heard Charlie Weiss say this on our show. I've heard people who have been around the Patriots for a lot longer than I have say that, you know, if you ask Robert, he's the reason for the success. If you ask Bill, he's the reason for the success. And if you ask Tom, he's the reason for success. So I think they all sort of over-proportion their relative reasoning for the success. But I'm sure they do respect each other as football people.
Well, yeah, I mean, we would all agree, right, that they're all great at their particular capacity and what they do. So in order to be that great, you got to have a little bit of an ego. So, you know, I can see that. As far as Gronk in the Super Bowl, I really think all year they just kind of, he just went through the motions because Tom and him have the relationship already. They didn't want to overburden him, overtax him, and they were going to use him in key spots. So that didn't surprise me. And Curtis, I got to give you kudos. You had probably one of your best radio hours ever on Thursday. I think it was Thursday when you just absolutely destroyed Derek the Steelers fan.
You had him.
He was backpedaling, and he had no clue. It was like you were throwing haymakers, and you had him up against the rope. He couldn't get away. It was amazing. I tried to get through after, but I couldn't because I know you get critical of me if I call after 7. You say I should be working.
Hey, if you're going to compliment,
I don't want to do that.
If you're going to compliment, you can call me during the second period. I don't care.
And one last quick thing, if you don't mind. I think maybe you can ask Greg. Maybe some new content for the show. Maybe it can be like sports radio caller dating line, because I really think we should hook up Maria and Scott from Weymouth. We should get, because didn't Maria say she was divorced? And
yeah,
you know, maybe it could be a good match. They're both passionate callers and very opinionated. They might make a good match. What do you think?
Scott from Weymouth is on the line currently, by the way, and he's been banned forever, so we can't take him. At this point, that'd be better than Whittier Tech football talk or whatever we did an hour of. So,
oh my God.
or Dr. Kevorkian, who you guys had on, that said we'd get her immunity by April or whatever.
That was a great spot.
Okay.
Excellent. The doctor was very, very wise, but no, I think...
But he's right about Derek the Steelers fan. He may never call again.
No, yeah. That Thursday was awesome.
Thursday, but yesterday we found out Greg scooped that he'd been fired by the trash company, and first he was said that he decided to go his separate ways, and then we found out he got fired. I mean, God, he was reeling.
That will kill him more than anything relating to his firing was that he was doing that sanctimonious Derek voice saying, well, some people get a better opportunity, and we move on with our lives. And then 10 seconds later, Greg's like, I got word that you got fired. And then he's complaining about middle management at E.L. Harvey.
ESPN senior writer Seth Wickersham on the way. It's the Ken and Curtis Show.